have to laugh at myself, all this technology. Okay, we're going to get started here. Good evening, everyone, on this Hallows Eve. And this is a Sunday evening life transformational coaching call with Applied Spirituality. And I'm Kathy Kirk, founder of Applied Spirituality, and I'm so glad you're here tonight and that you have chosen you. I welcome you and certainly honor you for being here tonight. You need to know how special you really are. The fact that you are here puts you in, I would guess, one half of 1% of the population on the planet, those that are seeking to awaken to their true self and become the full potential of good on the planet. So you've realized at some level that unless you change yourself, you can't be of much good to the world. So well done. First, a bit of housekeeping. This is a religion-neutral zone, meaning that all religions are welcomed here, or none. Applied spirituality is for every human being. Here is where we transcend human mind and bring our divine mind blending it with our human mind. In future, I really want this to become an open forum for discussion and comments, questions, observations, rather than so much of a lecture. So please use the coaching forum on the website, communicate with each other, ask questions, pose observations. You can also ask questions of me in the forum, and I will answer them. Everything you hear here stays here. This is an environment of confidentiality and privacy. You are part of a growing community of friends. If you're tempted to discuss something you heard here in the coaching calls, don't. Also, if you want to keep yourself anonymous to the group, by all means, use a pseudonym, but please participate. We all learn and grow from each other, each other's questions, each other's situations. And it's important you begin sharing who you are, because this is, in fact, why you're here, to bring your best self to your life and to the world. You can also submit questions to coach@appliedspirituality.com as well. If you can't make the Sunday evening call, you can also submit your question via email or through the forum, and I will answer it on the call. Then you can hear your answer by listening it to the MP3 recording the next day. All materials here, call-in number, PIN number, recordings, and handouts are proprietary information. You may not share them with anyone else. While everyone in your household is welcome to participate, they participate agreeing to these terms and conditions too. You need a fresh notebook for your new life. Take notes, communicate with yourself, raise questions, think things through, etc. The fundamental premises that we operate under here are as follows. Number one, you are not broken and there's nothing to fix. Number two, this is a benevolent world and this benevolent universe has your back. Number three, there is only a stream of well-being. There is no source of evil, no source of sickness, and no source of darkness. Number four, everything in your experience is for your good and on the way to your good, so it's all good. And number five, you are source energy having a physical experience known as your life. This is what we are awakening to and in the process of remembering. And number six, you're a complete God kit. Everything you need to have a great life you came in with, and you are remembering how to acknowledge and interpret your own internal guidance system. Okay, well, I'll just get started with tonight's comments. This is the fourth week of our focus on You Are Enough. We are raising up the misbelief that you are not enough or that you're broken and you think you might be unworthy. When I say we're raising a belief, it's a good time to refer to the emotional vibrational scale PDF that is available on the coaching download page. In fact, it's a good idea to keep that in front of you a lot. You see it in this work, we are doing an emotional journey rather than resorting to physical action. When you shift the vibration of yourself internally first, then what appears external to you changes by the natural law of attraction. So it's imperative you come to feel your feelings on any topic. Looking at the PDF, you can see where you are on the emotional scale for that subject. Then the work is around raising that belief from where it is back up into alignment with God mind, which stays fixed in absolute well-being. All the work is about changing your human mind and bringing it into alignment with your God mind. Everyone on earth is of two minds. Before you're born, you are of one mind. So you're in non-physical well-being. You are, quote-unquote, in heaven. You're in a place of fullness. There's no lack. And there's nothing other than God or good. You are creators there with instant manifestation capabilities. So let's say when someone on earth issues forth a new desire for something good or better, well, then when we're non-physical, we ride the vibrations of their desire and enjoy the instant feeling of their success and joy. When we come into the physical form as an extension of source energy, we then have two minds, that which remains anchored in source and in well-being, and that which is contained within the human body for navigating the planet throughout life. Now, the inner guidance system tells us when our human mind believes a false premise, which is contrary to what God mind knows to be true. This gap, then, between human mind and God mind is what we experience in our bodies as a negative emotion. So let's take an example. When someone or something elicits a negative feeling within you, it means one thing and one thing only. And it means you're out of alignment with your God self, your Godship. Your human mind is believing a false premise that your God mind is not joining you in. A negative emotion does not mean that someone else is bad or wrong. It means you're out of alignment with you. So that's sort of one of the first things to kind of focus on maybe within the next week, is just shifting what your immediate interpretation of a negative emotion is, because mostly when we're in that, we're in the thick of daily life and somebody's being a jerk, and so we're pretty mad at them. But the whole idea of awakening in living a, quote, unconditional life is basically that conditions don't have to change in order for you to feel good. And to reverse that in a new set of ways, or say it in a different way, nothing else has to change for you to feel your connection with yourself, for you to feel good. So that's an unconditional life. All of this work is for your empowerment of you and every other human being. Your days of thinking that someone else is in control of your well-being are coming to a close. You are not a victim. You are not subject to the whims of others. You are not subject to the economy or the edicts of your doctor, the pocketbook of a spouse, or the welfare system. You are the creator of your entire life experience. Once you understand how you create and you get pretty good at it, you'll never again feel like you are powerless. And by the way, the feeling of powerlessness, which is the absolute opposite of connectedness, is the farthest point down on that emotional vibrational scale. It's the place of the greatest gap between your human mind and your God mind, which is why it feels so bad, because it is the farthest thing from the truth. Okay, as we go through changes, the way we see things, experience things, respond to things, what's happening within you is that you are letting go of old, outmoded beliefs that got you this far in life. Some, if not most, went into your subconscious at a very early age, even before you had your own language, and most of them dripped into your subconscious unedited via vibrational influence from friends, family, society, etc. around you. So they operate all the time. We are first vibrational beings. As a matter of fact, we are mostly vibrational, non-physical beings. that which is anchored in well-being is most of who we are. Think of yourself as an upside-down iceberg. 96% of you is non-physical source energy, actually in well-being. The 4% of you that is in physical format is the tip of the iceberg, walking around on Earth in a body with a mind. The 96% of you is always beckoning you home, calling you forth. It's, for lack of a better term, let's say your conscience, your inner voice, the still small voice, your knowing, your intuition, your wisdom, your very heart. It's all. It always feels well. It always feels correct, alive, eager, joyful, exuberant, free. It wants your human mind to line up with it. It wants you to come home, but remain in the physical body. This is the ultimate state, awake, alive, and still in the body. When we begin this process of awakening, change is inevitable, and because we desired it. The change is dropping false beliefs that have clouded our perceptions of life. So as you reach for more and better, these things that are not true and never were true are usually first to come up for clearing, release, and letting go. Many times along my path, I've stopped and paused. I've sat down at the proverbial fork in the road until I could line up my human mind with my God mind and allow a long-standing belief to go and accept a new one, a more expansive belief to take its place. Everyone moves at their own rate, and there's no right and there's no wrong, there's no time frame, and there's no competition. There are, however, big shifts that go on internally. These are the things that I want to address tonight. Since we now know that everyone on the planet is a complete God kid, you can make this journey worshiping tree moss and having only the single focused intention of being your true self, or an intention like knowing the truth of being, or whatever words you want to put on your journey. Two of the most spiritually aware and awake people that I've ever experienced in my life were on the path of Mary. What we had in common was our absolute desire to know the truth and be a force of good on the planet. So anyone with that intention is signaling the universe for their desire, and the universe is answering it specifically to them. That individual could be in an ashram, a temple, a mosque, or in the woods like Thoreau. Truth is universal and belongs to all of us, and how we get there is entirely up to us. The way the universe answers you will be entirely customized and personalized just for you. You may read the same books I do. You may read none of the books that I do. It doesn't matter. Only your intention for truth and beauty, goodness, authenticity, your best life, your earnest, real heart's desire to be home and well-being whilst in the body matters. So it's important you personally define, hone, and continually update your fundamental intention. Now, along the way, the human mind is going to be very clever at trying to manipulate you, deceive you, and confound your path. It's the ego, and it doesn't want to lose control. The ego is not the bad guy. It's not evil. It's just sort of devoid of truth. Everything that your subconscious mind has adopted along the way by way of beliefs, therefore behaviors, was designed by you to keep you safe. The human mind is largely myth, superstition, and half-truths passed on from generation to generation. As you have declared your desire for your freedom from these lies, it will quake, and it will judge, and it will be very afraid that if you let go of this belief or that one, it'll perish. You'll perish. You'll die. And that would be bad, bad, bad. This is what we're going to talk about tonight, coping with these internal changes. We have operated from these beliefs for a long time, And the one that we've been working on for 4 weeks now is the core belief that we are not enough and that we're not worthy. And this one, of course, you know, it's the malaise of every humanoid on the planet, I'm certain. So that's why we attacked it. And we're going to come back to it frequently. But this particular belief and any other false belief are only thoughts that we have thought for a long time. So picture a tire track, ruts in the road that have been traversed for a long time. This is the way it is. This is the route we've always taken. This is the way it's done. So thinking this thought, we've practiced this over and over for a long time. And thus, it's a practiced thought, which is a belief. But we are divine beings in human form, and we can choose to believe anything we want and live that reality. Everything, every idea, every belief gets to be here on Earth. It's a planet of variety, or we may say it as a planet of duality. But this fact is what makes Earth a really cool place to be for an incarnation. It's the ultimate game where contrast, variety, duality make for the very expansion of God in the universe. Every time we experience something we don't like, we automatically wish for its opposite. When we feel lack, we wish for full. When we feel sick, we wish for health. When we experience pain, we wish for joy. When we feel disempowered, we wish for our empowerment. The work, then, is to turn our attention towards what we just wished for, what is wanted, and take our eyes off what just caused us the feeling of negativity or the contrast. So we begin creating a new thought, a new belief, a new route for our tires to travel. So primary guidelines for coping with internal changes are, first of all, be kind to yourself. This is why we've been focusing so much on the topic of I am enough. You've got to have a new default thought in place, such as I am worthy, I am source, God, having a physical experience. I am, what if I am the fullness of God in human form? I am beloved, I am wise, I am love itself. To replace the old beliefs that got here, you've got to have in your hand, ready, a new belief to replace it and start creating the new track. When we release an old belief, there's got to be something good to replace it. If you can't think of something, you can release the old belief, but you must be prepared to live with a vacancy or a period of what I call ambiguity within you until you're inspired to a new thought. And you will be. Remember, when you ask, it is always, always answered. Number two, have mercy on you. The guideline here is treating yourself with infinite love and gentleness as you would your own child or a pet. Abide with you. Have patience with you. You'd sit with a sick friend, right? You'd sit with somebody who had a broken leg until they got well. Well, then wouldn't you sit with yourself until you gained your feet again? Treat yourself well, not as if you're an idiot or a moron, but support yourself with things like, I am good. I'm getting better every day. I'm supported and loved beyond measure. I'm always answered. I know the answer by how good it feels to me. I'm inspired to my right course, my right words, my truer thoughts about me. Number three, you must stop judging yourself. You will continue to have your human mind fight to the death rather than be replaced with a good thought. But it won't help. In fact, it will hurt your progress if you make your human mind bad or wrong. It's not your enemy. This human mind, I like to think of it as all the people you've been throughout your whole life. So picture or even find pictures of yourself from birth till now. Arrange the pictures in chronological order on a wall. These represent the voices of your human mind. These are the personas of you that continue to believe these false beliefs. But they love you. They are you. But they've not been updated. So they continue to operate from within these beliefs automatically, all day, every day. So let's go back to that feeling of powerlessness. Someone or someone's of these parts of you believe this. They still believe this. So when you are establishing a new belief, such as, I am worthy, I am the fullest expression of source energy in my unique form known as you, these are the voices inside of you that will offer up resistance to change. But you're the captain of your ship, you. So as if these parts are your crew on your ship dropping anchor, steering in another direction, you have to become the leader of the kingdom of you. This is where you take up reparenting, reversing, reminding these parts of you. Language you can use is, I love you. I so appreciate how you have loved me so far. I need to update you, though. Do you see our God self? Can you feel the love that it is? That is who we really are. We are not weak or vulnerable. We are wise. And I so appreciate your caring for me so well. But now I want and need you to communicate me with me from love, feeling our God self. I choose a good, fun life for us. And for that, you need to shift your belief. We are not in lack. We are in fullness. We'll move as slowly as you need to. I will listen to you for as long as you need me to. But we will move on, and you will feel better bit by bit. So here's a new thought for you. Which feels better to think? Yes? This is where you can use the processes, the other PDF handout. This is where you move a belief up the emotional scale. This is where you, as the captain of your ship, love your parts back into the fullness of well-being, patiently, kindly, wisely, and lovingly. And your journal is invaluable for these discussions with your parts. Number 4, keep your sense of humor. These parts are going to come to you with pain, angst, anger, confusion, and all manner of negative emotion. You and your God self can observe this while the part is having its tantrum or fit. You don't have to go down with that part or its story. You can become the watcher of you. You and your God self are connected in well-being and know the truth of being, so all is well. So you listen with a certain loving detachment as you listen to their pain. My non-physical self has a great sense of humor. Often when I'm in the midst of a part sharing its dire tale with me, I'll get a joke or a cartoon image to remind me that this whole thing is an illusion, that this part absolutely believes. Abide with it, but don't get into the muck with it. Reassure, listen, sympathize, but don't empathize. Then bring your part back to a better feeling thought. Tell it how much you love it, how much you want it to be free and happy. Give it a new thought to think that feels a wee bit better. Stay with that thread of work until you've raised that misbelief up into alignment with Source. Keep laughing. It's all good. It's a journey. It's a game. Hold the thought, as Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. You can know that you are changing the play and now assuming a new role to act in the play of your own design because you're the creator of your play. Number 5, cultivate faith. Faith is a strong or unshakable belief in something, especially without proof or evidence. Here is where you want to cultivate faith in universal law, the elegance of this universe, and your very unique and integral place within it. You also want to cultivate faith in this process as natural in your rightful inheritance on Earth. You knew this process before you came in, and you knew you could trust, and you would awaken. Number six, cultivate trust. Come to a reliance on the integrity, the strength, the ability, and surety of the universe, yourself as source energy. Cultivate confidence as a confident expectation of your good, of hope. Now, how do you cultivate faith and trust? And I think you do this like you do anything else in increments. But for me, I use nature, and I look at how things are in nature and how we have great confidence in the sun rises in the morning, and I'm looking at one gorgeous sunset right now as it's setting. And we know this to be true. We have great faith in it. In fact, we have trust in it. When I want to cultivate faith and trust, I look at the birds, I look at the bunnies, I look at the deer, and I think they have no fear. They trust that their good is taken care of. And if those things, the lilies of the field and the wildflowers in the meadow and the birds and every creature is taken care of, then certainly I am as well, and that I am integral to this process as well. So that's pretty much how I cultivate faith. When I cultivate trust, I use a mental exercise. And this is the exercise I use. I imagine myself at the Grand Canyon. It's a great big crevasse. And it's nighttime. And I imagine that I'm standing with my back to right at the edge. And a figure of trust comes up, somebody that I trust. And they walk out into this abyss and they say, "Fall backwards and I'll catch you." And because I trust this person, I fall backwards into their arms and they are standing in the blackness of this abyss and they catch me and it's all good. And I do that until I feel very confident. And then I go back and I repeat the exercise of falling backwards into the abyss of the universe without anyone to catch me except the universe. And I do that until I'm floating. And that's how you sort of just practice trust in the universe. To do this, the primary exercise is to come to change your old default thinking of doom and fear. If you will just consider for a moment how you generally react to something. So the tire went flat, the furnace wouldn't go on, you've got to go see a doctor, the fear of trying to pay your bills, the anxiety about your job, a review with your boss, an encounter with your spouse, when you consider your career or your future. What's your response to that? We as a society have come to expect our worst. We're terrified of everything. And this is where we begin, right here. So I want you to begin shifting your first thought from uh-oh or oh shit to, well, isn't this interesting? Just shifting from expecting the worst to having a more curious, detached response will relieve the stress on your physicality and you by at least 50%. There are many ways to approach this, but here's a few. Perhaps you heard your mother or someone else say, "Look for the silver lining." That's an old saying with great merit. So when you're looking at something that has a face value that looks terrible, and you can come to the thought that says, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere, you've made a good start. It signals a shift in your internal vibrational countenance to the universe, and this is where we start creating in a new way. The universe sees that it feels your vibration has shifted, and now it is matching it. And so you shall. You've asked, and they have answered. It also starts to shift your internal parts, these people of you, from seeing the drama, from looking at the past, to looking through it, and now towards the good in whatever the situation might be. At that point, you've made another internal vibrational shift that signals the universe that you want to experience more good. And you shall, for you've asked and they answer. Pollyanna used to play the glad game. For everything that happened in her life, she looked for the things to be glad about. So here's an example. In 9/11, which was truly a big event, something I can be glad about is, and I'll fill that in, there were not 55,000 people in the building at the time. With respect to my health, something I can be truly glad about is, with respect to my relationships with, something I'm really happy about is, and so you begin practicing a new thought pattern, a new set of beliefs, a new default response that now changes your personal vibrational countenance, raising it up such that by law of attraction, the big you starts matching you with more things to be glad about. You have noticed them. You must notice them, and then you must rejoice in them. And the more you notice them and you're glad about them, yes, the universe is matching you with even more things to notice and be glad about. And then you just keep moving this up and up and up. But what is really cool is that once you start getting the hang of this, you start to realize that all of this is the direct result of your changing your attitude within first. Nothing external changed. You did. I want you to get to the point where you're listening to something on the radio or television that would have made your blood boil, and you can truly say, isn't that interesting? I wonder how they came to that conclusion. Within you, you're feeling neutral. You acknowledge the thoughts of others and have removed yourself from the belief that they have any impact on your life whatsoever. Start small and work your way up. The ultimate place you're heading is to the realization that no one has any say in your life unless you've invited them into your experience by thinking about them, pushing against it, or fighting about it. Everything gets to be here. I want to tell you a story. I have these non-physical beings that send me cartoons all the time. And summer before last, I went to the Medina County Fair. And towards the end, as we were leaving, we went into this big arena where they were having pig competitions. And there were young people there with these enormous pigs, and they were competing by poking the pigs through various obstacle courses with a big stick. So for some reason, I'm watching this, and it struck me as extraordinarily funny. Well, when this happens, I kind of know it's my God self was giving me its view of the humanoids and what they were up to on the planet, and that it was truly funny. Like they were tuned into the Human Comedy Channel, and they were dragged up their Barca loungers with a huge bowl of popcorn just to watch. And I got to laughing so hard that the tears were actually rolling down my cheeks. Look, they said, look what they've come up with now. I'd like you to get to the place where you can look at anything and say, well, they're just poking the pigs. Now, that takes some work, and it's going to take you working on small things first. But the idea is just to get to the place where it's just another thought form that gets to be here on this planet of absolute variety and duality. And without it, we wouldn't be expanding. So the activities of these youngsters had no bearing on my life. I could watch and appreciate the beauty of the animals, the way the humans and the animals were acting in concert, and they were enjoying each other. It was simply another thought form. Would I like to do that? No. Is it likely that I ever would? No. Now, when you're listening to the political party that you love to hate, try thinking like this. Isn't it interesting how they reached that conclusion? I love that they have a different idea. Wow, they're just poking the pigs. How funny. how glad I am that that thought gets to be here so that I can use that thought and think a new thought and think a different thought. When your kid's teacher calls you up and says, come in for a meeting, you can respond, isn't this interesting? I get to see how she or he wants me to hold myself responsible for my child's free will choices. Remember, we are awakening from all these collective beliefs. And the primary one is that somehow we are able to create into someone else's experience when we cannot. We are errantly held responsible for all kinds of things that we have no control over. We enact laws in our society to protect ourselves from what others might try to do to us, when no one can do anything to us unless we have invited them in with a matching vibration. Start training yourself to think in terms of vibrational countenance. Watch the world. See who's locked into a tangle together, and see if you can understand the matching vibration that drew them together, positive and negative. This will cultivate a trust in you and the law of attraction and your own abilities to change how you think about things. It will inspire you to course correct your thinking and clean up your own vibration first, which is the only place you have ever had any control anyway. Learn to interpret every event through the eyes of, quote, my good is at play. I'm just going to watch. I will conclude tonight's remarks with this story, and this is true. Back in 2002, I was working for the San Diego County Libraries, and I was substituting as a library tech at the Bonita branch, which is down by the ocean. When I got a call from my home branch in Descanso, it was my manager, Peg, telling me that my house had just exploded. I laughed at her. I said, right, Peg, sure. But after a while, she convinced me that what she was saying was true and it had actually happened. So this was a new situation for me, and, of course, I really didn't know how to think about this. But the Bonita manager told me I should go home. So I couldn't imagine why I should, because it wasn't there. But there were other fires in the backcountry during this time. It was very dry. And so I thought maybe I better. I wanted to be sure that my fire hadn't spread to my neighbors' homes. So driving east, I could see plumes of black smoke. I'd hoped it was the Julian fire, which was already in progress and not my neighborhood. When I got to my neighborhood, it was clear that it was not on fire, but I hadn't yet reached my property. A sheriff met me at the bottom of the long driveway and prepared me. He said, look, there's nothing left. So I drove up a little ways, and I had to park kind of a little ways out because of all the fire engines. And as I started walking towards my home site, I heard within my ear, within my head, but I distinctly heard it, and this voice said, your good is at play. Watch. Just watch. And with that advice, I felt a great sense of love and peace descend upon me, going to see the drama of this, quote, tragedy. With that view, a peace descended. It was like this peace that passes human understanding. I had no fear and I had no dread. I simply watched this drama unfold, and I was eager then and curious to see what good was unfolding. And from that point, so much good unfolded that I never would have seen had that event never happened. The real story here, though, in what I'm trying to convey, was the shift in my inner state. You can go through anything well. You can go through the valley of the shadow of death with eager anticipation, with hope, and with knowing it's all the funhouse. Whether you get sucked into the drama or not is entirely up to you. So that's a pretty full plate for today. I think it will give you lots to think about for the week. The focus of this week, use your journal. Talk to your parts. Happy, cheerful voices are your God self talking to you. negative voices and emotions are your parts. Begin soothing them and giving them a wee bit better thought to think. And this week, begin practicing these new default thinking of, isn't this interesting? My good's at play. Maybe this is just another case of poking the pigs. I'll just watch and expect my good to be revealed to me. I'm going to just find the silver lining. I'm going to find the pony in here somewhere. I'm certain this is a really good thing. I'm going to suspend judgment for now. And finally, you're going to respond to your internal changes with kindness, patience, love, and a certain detachment. You will abide with your negative feelings. Allow it, yet hold the space that all is well, and we're going to shift through this in no time flat. You're going to be the captain of your crew and lead them out the other side swiftly. You will invite your God self to inspire you to higher thoughts if you can't think of any on your own. And you're going to cultivate faith and trust and a good, healthy sense of humor. It's all good. It's all God. And your intention is to feel the wellness and goodness of everything, including and primarily you. Okay, those are my comments for tonight. I want you also to keep doing the exercises if you feel like you need more, and I know I continue to do them, the exercises for I Am Enough. There's 8 of them out there, so go back and review the MP3 files from the last 3 weeks. Those are my comments for tonight. Let's see here. I also want to tell you that, you know, these are all suggestions. So adopt a practice that works for you. I've suggested bathroom breathing breaks, lists. Develop your own. Develop what works for you, but be faithful to it. It's the persistence and the consistency. And maybe you want to add a new thing in a week or a month, but make sure that a lot of your time is spent aligning your human mind with your God mind. This is shifting your vibrational countenance inside, practicing new thoughts until they become your new set point, your new default. And notice then how the outside shifts as you shift internally. And keep track of those things so that you get a good sense that this stuff is real. So those are my comments for tonight. So I'm going to stop here and open everything to questions or comments, opinions, and ahas with respect to tonight's comments or anything else. So just to unmute yourself, use *6. Okay, you guys. You're not that silent when I'm with you individually. All right, okay. Maybe you're just working up a question or a comment. So, okay. Who has a personal comment or situation that you'd like coaching on this evening? Step up to the plate. Batter up. Again, unmute yourself using *6, and you can use your real name or a pseudonym. Doesn't matter. Remember, there's no topic off limits and no stupid questions. Okay. I'm going to start. I have 3 questions that came in this week over the internet. And at the end, I'm going to ask for questions in between. So maybe you'll get courageous and pop one out there for me. Okay. This first question comes from Tina in Cleveland. Tina writes, I have 2 dogs. They are brothers. I am new to having dogs. We got them both as puppies. I've had horses all my life, but never dogs. One I don't trust as much as I trust the other one. He's not bad, but he would run after things if I let him, and so I always walk him on the lead, and he's the one who is always sick. He's a finicky eater as well, and recently now, he's licking sore places on his body. He also has a slip disc in his neck that affects his right hindquarters. He's sweet, but he's worrisome to me. The other one is exactly the opposite. The other one I trust completely, and he's always well. I don't have to walk him on a lead, for example. So where do I start interpreting their presence in my life? Good job, Tina. This is really, really good. This is a good question. So you already get that everything in your life is a mirror for you, and so are your two dogs. Right off the bat, those two dogs are mirroring your two selves. The one that you trust implicitly is mirroring your God self, and the one that's worrisome to you is mirroring your human mind and the parts of you that are harboring false beliefs and misperceptions. So it's pretty cool that you have the two of them and that you actually have such a clear mirror in front of you, because that tells me that you really have a good fundamental belief in your God self. You know, it's clearly right there in front of you, presenting in this beautiful animal. And so the other one is just so lovingly mirroring back to you your stuff, which is kind of good, you know. And he adores you, and he's willing to do that. So I would suggest, Tina, do the exercise that I outlined in tonight's comments about the parts of yourself. Find your pictures of you from babyhood till now and put them on a wall in chronological order, and just start using your journal and letting these parts of you talk to you and start raising up those beliefs. And as you shift yourself internally, I'm going to bet that your troublesome dog starts shifting right before your eyes. So I would love it if you would keep us informed of what's going on. And don't try to, leap tall buildings in a single bound here. Just work gently and sweetly with yourself, and don't push. Just allow and be kind. And just as things come up, do them, do the work, and watch your dog shift as well. It's going to be fun to watch this. Good observation, Tina. Well done. Okay, does anybody on the call have a question? Okay. The second question that I had is from Rita in Maryland. Rita writes, I think of myself as a very spiritual person with very spiritual values. Recently, I saw a marketing ad from another spiritual leader that was promoting women doing a video of themselves as hot. I personally think that that's demeaning and reducing women to sexual objects. How can she pose herself as a spiritual leader? Okay, well, Rita, you know, the Bible says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and the planet Earth, as I said in my comments earlier, is this place of infinite variety and infinite. We can create anything we want here, and so it's just another thought form. So while it might not be your definition of spirituality, it is somebody's. And obviously she's having some success with that, so it appeals to other people, so they're vibrating at the same frequencies. And everything is a stepstone, and there's only sort of one staircase, and it's sort of all leading upward anyway, so it kind of doesn't matter which floor you get on, because you're still heading upwards anyway. So I think for us is to sort this is your first assignment, is to sort of work on this one as an example of the humanoids poking the pig. It's just another thought form. So try to think of things that have no charge on it for you. And then you need to go inside and find out which part of you is having trouble with that, because it might be part of you that needs some work with raising up your concepts that have to do with your own sexuality or what's appropriate or what's not. I mean, when we start this work, it's really hard for us because we've been schooled by the other humanoids that, well, this falls into the good category and this falls into the God category and this falls into the appropriate category and this falls into the inappropriate category. And I'm going to challenge you to think that there's really nothing inappropriate in the eyes of God. So it's just another thought form. It's just another expression. And so use it as a launch pad. Find out where it's poking you in a negative way and talk to that part of you. This will be informative for you. And thank that lady who's inviting her women to do a video of themselves to be hot, because she gave you a contrasting experience that caused you to wish for something. What is it that you just wished for? Okay. Thanks for the question, Rita. Really good. Really good one. Okay. Is there anyone on the call tonight that would like to ask a question or make a comment? Okay. The last question I have that came in this week was from Marianne in Brunswick. Marianne writes, I'm a first grade teacher. I got into teaching because my mom was my inspiration. She was a teacher and inspired me to want to be that as well. However, with all the new rules and regulations, paperwork, and pressure to have the children perform, I'm exhausted. There's no time. The days are rigidly scheduled, and the pressure to get in everything that we now have to get in by law leaves no time for creativity. The kids have to perform or we lose our jobs. There's so little fun, and I go home exhausted. How can you say I'm the creator of my own reality in this? I want there to be more ease. Okay, Marianne, good job, good question. And this is, you can shift this for yourself. Now remember, we're not about shifting what the others are up to. We're only shifting our connection with Source so that we allow the stream of life to move through us easily and well. And when we do that, everything we desire shows up magically, okay? So first of all, I want to give you a couple of thoughts just to soothe your thinking. First of all, the kids are able to keep up with the pace. These new kids are a faster frequency model. They are new, improved versions. They're like Maseratis. So they're up to having Source energy move through them fast. So don't be worrying about them. They are responsible for their alignment with their Source energy, not you. You're only responsible for your alignment with your Source energy, okay? So that's the only thing you can affect, and that's your place of power. Number two, you are able to put yourself into a state of ease where all the things you want will converge into your experience if you can get yourself into a place of allowing and relaxing, which is alignment. You have to focus. If you think about the problem that focused you to cause a desire for more ease, stop focusing now on the problem and focus on the ease. Picture yourself relaxed. And you're going to have to do some homework. You're going to have to spend some time before school, maybe in between your segments during the day. You use your breath. You come back into alignment. You talk to the parts of yourself in your notebook or in your journal that believe there's not enough time, that you might lose your job, and especially that the exercise is about you're not good enough, because all of us who think that there's not enough time or not enough money, all of that springs from the root one of I'm not enough. And believe me, you are. You are plenty good enough. You are an excellent teacher, or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. Picture yourself relaxed. Excuse me just a minute. Picture yourself in your relaxed state in your classroom. Picture yourself enjoying being relaxed in your classroom. Picture yourself relaxed, enjoying the state in your classroom with your kids, enjoying you relaxed. When everyone's connected, inspiration and creativity flow in from your... Excuse me just a minute. Okay. Sorry about that. When everyone's connected, inspiration and creativity flow in from yourself right into the now moment. So you kind of got to line yourself up, breathe in, and allow it to flow. The more you come from, I can't, there's not enough, the tighter you get, the less source energy is flowing into you. It's like kinking a hose. When you are in alignment and your hose is open and you're allowing the flow and you're relaxed, you'll find that you're getting more done. You'll find that even time bends and expands. And this is the physics of how we create. Do all the exercises about there is enough, that you're enough, there's enough time, there's enough energy, there's enough inspiration, there's enough creativity. Right now you've got your boat turned upstream, going against the current, and you just need to stop struggling and stop focusing on their bureaucratic goals, which are keeping you from being in alignment. In alignment, you leverage the power of the universe. Help comes, time expands, fun abounds, learning is easy, and suddenly all those goals that they set out are met. You set the intention for what you want. Picture things going easily and well. Buy yourself one of those that was easy buttons. I'll tell you a quick story. It's the story of my dad, who did not have his eye on the goal, but he had his eye on the process. In the now moment. And this is a man who pretty much lives his life being in the now moment rather than his eye on the goal. When he got back from the war, he went back to Case and he started taking classes. And he only took classes that he liked. He just kept taking one after the other. So he was married and they were having children and life went on and he worked and he'd say, take these classes, but he only took classes that he liked. One day, somebody from the engineering department came down and said to him, do you realize that you are like one class away from having an engineering degree? And he had no idea of that. So that's what it would look like if you were just enjoying your process and then all of a sudden this incredible goal gets met. So take the pressure off yourself. Tend to the moment, align yourself with now, with your source energy, and all the goals that you intend will be reached effortlessly. Just practice that allowing and aligning and allowing and aligning. Okay, well, those are all the questions I have for this evening. Are there anyone else who wants to speak or talk or make comments? Hit star 6. Well, I guess if there's nothing else, we're going to wind up for this evening. I would be willing to stay here until the cows come home, though. I want to remind you all that my cartoon friends from the other side are jumping up and down telling me, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, tell them. And what they want me to tell you is that you have nothing to fear, you have nothing to worry about, and you are loved beyond measure. So this is Kathy Kirk, and this is the Sunday evening Applied Spirituality coaching call on Halloween evening. And until next weekend, I'll see you then. Have a great week. Stay focused and keep breathing and allow all the good to come through you. Good night.